Welcome to the Australian Chiropractors Association podcast. The ACA is the peak body representing chiropractors in Australia. These podcasts explore the science, art, philosophy, and politics of chiropractic, as well as reviewing the latest research and discussing how chiropractors can strive for excellence in practice.
Welcome to the Australian Chiropractors Association National Podcast, the voice of Australian chiropractors and the association, where we discuss the issues shaping our profession and the communities we serve. As we continue this week, in this episode, we're going to highlight National Rural Health Month 2025. I'd like to begin our podcast, though, by respectfully acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we record this podcast and pay our respects to their elders past and present. We recognise and honour their ongoing connection to land, waters, culture and community. We extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people listening today. In this week's episode, we're going to draw our discussion to an exciting initiative that's helping bridge the gap between students' education programs and the rural chiropractic practice. The ACA Rural Placement Grant and Practitioner Placement Network is what it's called. For many years now, many rural chiropractors tell us that it's a challenge to attract associates or connect with graduates ready to make a difference in regional and remote communities. This program that the ACA have set up aims to change that, creating pathways for students to gain hands-on experience while supporting rural practitioners and improving access to chiropractic care across Australia. Joining us today to discuss this is Dr. Oliver Croke, who helped set up the placement grant. We'll explore how this initiative works, why it matters, and how you can get involved supporting the next generation of chiropractors. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome our wonderful guest, Dr. Oliver Croke. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having me, mate.
It's an absolute pleasure, and I really respect the work that you've done in this space. So I want to talk more about it. I know that we've talked off camera about the importance of it, and I want to go into a little bit more detail and how our listeners and our membership can get involved in this. So maybe a little bit of background first. Ola, give us a little bit of background of where you've come from, where you are, and how did you get involved in regional areas of Australia whilst working there?
So I grew up in the Macedon Ranges, which is sort of like on the border of Melbourne. It's like the first town out where you're no longer a suburb. So you're kind of like, you're close enough to being in the country that you... If you when you do your VCE, they give you a little bit of extra credit for being in a rural and, you know, out of a city environment. But, you know, it's 45 minutes to the Melbourne CBD, so you're by no means, you know, rural or remote. Went to university at RMIT, and then I took an associateship in a town called Deniliquin. Most people just call it Denny, which is sort of, if you look at where Echuca is on a map and you head up about 60-odd kilometres, it's in that sort of the first town over the border, on that sort of southern end of New South Wales there. Practiced there for 18 months and then broke my shoulder in a skiing accident. And so I, as I was recovering from a shoulder operation, I then got offered a job out in Bega, and I've been here since Feb 2020. So,
lovely.
Spent my whole career in country areas.
Yeah, Bega is a lovely town. It's very close to Merimula.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lovely place there. Just down, Bega would be regarded as coastal, wouldn't it?
Reasonably kind of. Yeah. Where I think if we drove out my driveway, we could be at the beach in about 15 minutes, which is great.
Cool. Yeah.
But on the flip side, you can be at the snow in 2 hours. So there are perks. Land.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it's really good to have you on because obviously you're in about 7 or 8 years out?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that's perfect because I know a lot of our listeners are young listeners as well. And what we're going to dive into will probably appeal to a lot of the young practitioners. And I think it will make a lot of sense to a lot of those young students who are looking at who will be graduating soon, and discussing more about the nature of what ACA can offer. So let's start with what inspired the ACA to develop the Rural Placement Grant and Practitioner Director Initiative.
There's probably a couple of things. So when I look at, what makes a good what works for a good program of any kind, or what makes for a good exchange, it's always about, how can we benefit all the parties involved in that? And so for me, the rural placement programs made sense for everyone. It makes sense for students, it makes sense for, rural Aussies, and it makes sense for rural chiropractors. And so my father served on the ACA boards while I was growing up, so I got to see a little bit of background stuff. I know a lot of the really good advocacy work that the ACA does in the background that might not necessarily be, seen at the coalface, and they're just working their clackers off in the background there, so that we can all do what we're doing in a, in a good structured environment. But one of the things that happened when I started discussing ACA membership with some rural colleagues was there were questions around value there. And so I was like, we need something that is, really directed at benefiting rural practitioners. This is something we need to put some skin in the game. We need to make it really clear that we value our rural members and that we're doing things that are designed to benefit them. And so, when I furthered those conversations, the big difficulty that came up was it's really hard to get associates. And so that's when it sort of started to occur that I was like, okay, well, if we can make it easier to get associates, then that's good for members. Awesome. And I think rural practice is fantastic. I've been flogging that horse for years. I reckon it's, you couldn't pay me to move back to a city. I think rural practice is just the best, is the best. A lot of the mentors that I had growing up, the vast majority of the people I admire most in chiropractic are practicing in rural and, remote areas. And I think that there's a real benefit to students in being exposed to that, because the more people we can get out there, the better. I
Oh,
think
sorry, go. Yep.
I was just going to say, I think the need is really clear for rural Australians. The ACORN study, I think they did that in 2019. The ratio of chiropractors per 100,000 people is 16 in an urban area, but it drops to 9 in, that's just out of regional, which I think is where I grew up, is considered out of regional. Like, you're not actually that far out of a city. And it just goes down further the further out you go. And if you look at what happens amongst rural Australians, Australians as a whole, we tend to be living longer lives. But we're living them with what they call disability adjusted life years, or DALYs. Back in the 1990s, low back pain was the second leading cause of disability for Aussies as we start, having a harder time older in life. But it took the lead in 2010, and it's held that lead ever since. And so I'm looking at the health needs of rural Australians, and I'm like, right, it's very, very clear that they need chiropractic care in those communities because they have that at higher rates than their urban counterparts. There was an article that came out in Health Services Research this year. Author's name's Harris. I'll send it to you because it's a really good read. And it's about low value care for osteoarthritis and low back pain. How does low value care increase in frequency the further you go from cities? And so they looked at, I've got it up here on a different tab. It's 29 different sets of clinical practice guidelines. And went, okay, there's probably a dozen or so things here that are not completely pointless, but certainly not optimal to do for a low back pain patient or for someone who's got osteoarthritis. And one of the things they talk about is, they talk about spinal fusions, over-the-counter painkillers, opioids, all of that sort of stuff. And that stuff all gets more common the further out into rural Australia you get. If you look at the OPAL study, which is a different paper that's just published in Australia, if we just look at acute neck and low back pain, we probably shouldn't be handing out opioids for these things at all. Whereas that paper from Harris is saying that if you live in when they look at GP practices in rural areas, they're between 37 and 52% more likely to give you opioids for those issues, despite the fact that we've done our first placebo-controlled trial and found that they don't work. And so it's like we've got a really obvious health need for chiropractors in these communities because they're, I hope you'll forgive my French here, but they're getting screwed a little bit on what they get given for these things. And they need the people who are really good at managing those problems. And that's us.
And that's naturally, that's obviously the shortfall that you're referring to, because the poor old GP or the medical practitioner that's looking after these patients don't have an alternative. They don't have somebody out there who they can refer to manage or help or assist. So therefore, I guess to some degree, they have no choice but to give them, even though they might know that opioids and painkillers are not going to be of value. They don't really have a choice. So it's almost like they don't have any other alternative to give the poor patient suffering from that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope I'm it doesn't sound like I'm implying any degree of malice here. It's
No.
just that there's not other options. And
Exactly.
so at a systemic level, that means that we have, farmers with crook-like backs that are taking pills that are unlikely to help, a GP that's probably frustrated because he hasn't got another option. And the chiropractor's busy in Sydney, Melbourne, or Brisbane.
I couldn't agree more. I did my first associate in the country, rural Queensland, and some of the cases that you see are amazing, quite varied. So majority obviously are low back and neck pain issues as per usual. But once you develop that rapport with the local practitioners that are working there, like particularly GPs, they are more than happy to work with you and actually refer to you, because they exactly what we just touched on. They know that there's a shortage in terms of giving the patient the option, and some people have bad reactions to medication, right? And but the GPs are kind of held to, I don't know what to do. I don't want to give you that because I know you have a reaction to this because this is your medical history. I don't have an alternative. So then they might send them all the way for another 2 hour drive just to get some help. So it seems that shortage is in dire need of assistance, exactly as you speak.
I think the more chiropractors we can get into country areas, the better. And I really hope that that program over the next couple, over the next decade or so, starts to see an uptick in people going, I had a really excellent time doing my placement out there. I'm going to go and take an associate position in that practice, or I'm going to set up in a similar kind of town. Because, I
There's a
think the
need.
rewards of rural practice are incredible, setting
Well, it's
aside the data stuff.
exactly. I couldn't agree more. And so that's why we're hoping, obviously, it's National Rural Health Month as we speak in November. And this is a wonderful initiative, like I said, the ACA doing. I want to talk more about the actual logistics of how this all runs, Oliver. Could you run through us how the placements ideally would work and how it is working right now? And is there anything else that we need to be doing as a membership to assist this program?
If you're an ACA member and you're listening to this, the single best thing you can do is go log on to your ACA portal. It's under the research tab on the homepage. So you just click on research, there'll be a drop-down box. And there'll be like a rural placement thing in there. You just click on that, you get yourself registered. I'd like to see us have, 100 registered chiropractors by the end of the second year of the program. I'm not sure what the count is at the moment, but that's kind of the goal that I just have in the back of my mind. That's the one
Practitioners,
thing
yeah.
you can do today. It'll take you 10 minutes, if that. You provide a couple of details about your style of practice and, any areas of clinical interest, where exactly you are. It will help you figure out the degree of sort of rural and remote that your office, what criteria it fits into, so we can sort of grade those things a bit. Because what happens then is you get put on this list of chiropractors who are able to take students for placement. And then what the ACA is going to do is we're going to be talking to student bodies and going, look, we think that rural practice is fantastic. We think it's got, XYZ perks. We think you should go and at least check it out. Here's a list of all these guys who have sat there and gone, yep, hand up, happy to have you. And so we get to sort of act as a almost like a speed dating service where it's like, here's all the people, they're ready and waiting. All you have to do is swing them an email. And also, if you think it's tricky to get out there, if you're, like we said before we started sort of recording this, if rent in Sydney is really expensive and you need, a bit of help to keep that ticking over because you've got to take a week or two off work to go and do this thing, then we have that scholarship program there. And I think it's fantastic representation of the ACA skin in the game for, rural
Assisting.
chiropractors, for students, and for rural Aussies. I think the ACA is doing a community service here that is really, really fantastic.
Agreed. I couldn't agree more. So as a student, if they're looking at wanting to do this, what do they need to do? If they're, I guess to some degree, what are the logistics side of things, and who do they need to reach out to?
Probably the two people who are best to reach out to would be, most universities have an ACA student rep, and they should be able to put you in touch with appropriate person. When I was at RMIT, we sort of had, like, I think it was like one per year level, and there was always an ACA contact person floating around somewhere. So if you just have a chat to them, they'll be able to help you out. It is designed that so that you can, when you're registering where you want to do your placement and all that sort of stuff, you can chat to whoever your sort of supervising person is, whoever's teaching that part of the program, whoever's, your course head or the director for that bit. And they should have that information really easily available to them. So then you can look at that list and go, cool, I like the look of that place. I like the look of that guy's clinical interest. I want to do some functional neuro stuff, so I'm going to go hang out with Dave Richardson. There's that aspect of things. I think as far as practicalities are concerned, the only requirement is that you're an ACA student member, which is free. So, that's easy. It's very minimal as far as, the sort of
Student
the
effort
practical stuff
wise.
that you have to do. Yeah. Student effort requirement. Pretty straightforward.
which works well, the more students, as we know. The little I can do, the better.
Yeah, exactly. No blame on them either. Like, uni's
Yeah, well, it's a
stressful.
lot.
Yeah, you got.
Exactly, there's a lot to get through in your
Yeah.
studies, right?
100%.
Now, I noticed that on the portal that you mentioned earlier, there was a definition, or there was a model to which the whole placement program was based around. I think it was titled the Modified Monash Model. Could you explain a little bit more about that? So for our listeners who don't know that, and then why was that used in terms of, or why and how was it used in terms of eligibility means?
Basically, the about 5 years ago, don't quote me exactly on that, but around about 5 years ago, we switched over to this thing called Modified Monash. And what that model does is it introduces considerations of geography to definitions of, accessibility for healthcare. So, like I was talking about a little bit earlier, if we simply discuss healthcare availability as a matter of, doctors per capita or practitioners per capita, we're going to miss the point, because you might look at a certain population unit, 100,000 people tends to be how that's done. You might look at 100,000 and you go, okay, you got, 16 chiros per 100,000 in Melbourne, and only 9 when you go out into a rural area. But if the only thing you're thinking about is per capita, you also ignore travel time, because that 100,000 people is jammed into a 20-kilometer space in Melbourne, and your 16 chiros are somewhere scattered around that 20 square Ks. But if you look in the Northern Territory, you might have to drive 100, 200, 300 kilometers to reach the nearest person, because that population's dispersed over a much broader area. And so, my understanding of that model is that it's designed to account for that when it grades these things, when it tells us, how unavailable or otherwise our healthcare services in those areas.
Right, I see. Okay. So was that used as a means to work out the eligibility avenues of the practitioner and student, or just health in general?
It is used as a means to calculate eligibility for practitioners to be on the program. So
Okay. All right. And
when you do it, I think it's modified 3 that you have to be, but don't quote me on that. It's part of the application process. It'll have it in there. And it basically lets you plug your postcode in, and it will tell you what you are. And so you can just jump in there. It's super easy.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's very,
It's,
very simple.
yeah, sounds like it's very easy. You don't have to actually think or work it out for yourself. The whole system works it out for you as such.
No need
I
to get
know
a sexton out and look at a map. Don't worry about it.
I
Yeah.
know that you mentioned the how much you enjoyed it and also how wonderful it was and is still is working in the rural areas. Maybe for the listeners who have never been in the rural or regional areas, give us an understanding of how, from your perspective, what is it that separates? Why is it so much more enjoyable? What are the students or the potential practitioners looking to work in the rural areas? Why is it so attractive to be working in a regional or rural area, as opposed to say the current crop of students and new grads who are working in the metro? Because I do hear when I speak to, because we mentor a lot of other students and we might keep in touch with them post grad, and it's quite varied. You don't always get a lot of people who are exceptionally happy working in the metro areas either.
Yeah.
They find it quite challenging, and so I know that there are equally, people who are also having difficulties working in regional areas. Probably accessibility more than anything else. But what is it that separates? I personally view the same as you, but what separates a position working in rural areas that is so much more enjoyable to be in than say the regular metro areas?
There's a number of ways you could approach that question. I think it was Jim Sigerfoos. He's got a YouTube video that I think sums it up really, really well. It's like a 10-minute little lecture, and it's about what it means to be a chiropractor. I think Andrew Cameron might have sent it to me back when I was a student. Like he was just like, watch this because it's cool. And Jim is talking about in that video, he talks about the opportunity to sort of gently and tenderly become a sort of fixture in people's families when you're looking after them. And there's that sort of slow development of that really warm relationship where it's like, you got a bit to do with them, bit to do with them, bit to do with them. It's that development of community. I think that we live in a world that is increasingly digital and increasingly siloized, and that opportunities for, really deep community connection are decreasing. That's certainly my impression. I think rural practice is like taking a step back by like 20 years and just going, right, cool. If I think about a week or two ago, I was helping to set up there was like a street festival thing, food vans and stuff. And we were just the local business chamber had decided to have this thing just so that people could get out and hang out together. And, there was the bookshop had opened up and was like reading poetry, and someone else had a kebab van, and there's like a I think they projected Mario Kart up onto the side of a building, and so there's like all these kids like playing Mario Kart on the side of on the side of the ANZ Bank. It was bizarre. It was really fun. And you, I just kind of help them was helping them set up lights and put tents up and things. And you run into all these people that you look after. You've looked after previously, and it's like, oh, there's that dairy farmer, and you get that sense of satisfaction of helping out with this thing. You see this dairy farmer, for a fact that guy's been up since like 4 o'clock in the morning, and there he is walking his kid down down the street with a little lollipop or whatever, and it gives you a wave, and it's just this really warm and beautiful. It's magic. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Like you couldn't pull me out of here.
It's interesting because the way you described that, sorry to interrupt you there, but the way you described
Yeah,
it
go
is
for your life.
exactly when I was talking to Bridie on our last episode. The one word that sticks out when you as you're describing that is that community aspect, tribal aspect. Having your own little tribe that you can feel like you've contributed towards, either helping or supporting them in, and you can only really get that. Well, I've personally found it's so much easier to be able to create that in sort of regional rural areas. I don't know if whether or not because the patients you see are a little bit more open, a little bit more willing to be part of a tribe, a community. Whereas in the metro, because I've obviously worked in Sydney for a long time now, we've worked really hard, really, really hard to create a community within a bigger community. Whereas when you're in those regional areas, and I've worked in regional areas before, it's almost like, oh yes, come on in. We want you to be part of our regional area. We want you to be part of our tribe. Okay, now what can you do and how can you contribute towards our community? Bridie really had touched on that, and what you're saying there, that joy. I think that's wonderful. That's one of the things that I really want a lot of the young graduates as well as students to see and know exactly what you're saying there. And Bridie was saying the same thing about that community aspect, that support. And she talked about when they had those massive floods up in northern New South Wales, and how she was so part of that community by helping, and felt very much like a leader of that community because she stepped in, was helping, looking after people who couldn't afford care, and even the helpers of the helpers. You know, those who were in the SES and those the firefighters and the what have you, she was there giving her bit, contributing. So I think that's such a big part of chiropractic, a huge part of chiropractic. Whether you do that in the metro areas, in the rural areas, it just seems so much more easy. It fits like a glove in the rural areas.
When we first arrived in Bega, so I don't know if listeners remember this or not, but 2019 to 2020, there was like half the
The
state was on
fires.
fire, basically. Just
Yeah,
everything was burning.
exactly. Yeah.
And so one of the very first things that I did when I actually got the call to go, oh, your office is ready to set up, can you be there on Monday? I was in Bairnsdale with and I think it was an ACA program, actually. They were It was chiros and students who were donating their time to go and adjust fire response teams. And so I'm out there doing that, and get the call, can you get up there on Monday? And I was like, well, no, because the roads are closed because they're on fire. So I have to take the long way around. And so we went Bairnsdale, Melbourne, Denny, Tumut, Bega, and like columns of smoke everywhere. And you turn. And the very first thing that I did when I got there was posted in some of the community pages and just went, hey, has anybody got a portable massage table or something that I can adjust off of? And I got in contact with the local fire department because these guys are all still, running around. They were doing that for a long time afterwards. Like they were putting out spot fires for months, but just turned up at the local fire station and just looked after the guys who were made up that local RFS team, and we just chatted. I think I'd been there for a week, and it's like, I think practicing in rural areas can be really rewarding if you do that sort of thing. I don't want to teach people how to like, well, I don't want to feel like I'm lecturing people on how to engage with their community, but I think that a prerequisite for moving out into a rural town is that you have to genuinely care about those people. You cannot proceduralize your care. It is not a tick box thing. You have to have a genuine empathy and desire for those people to be healthy and do well and have good lives. And I think that if you have that, then rural Aussies will kind of sense that. There's a bit of an intro period where they're kind of like, you good? And then they figure out that you actually do give a shit. Excuse my French. And then it's awesome. It's like it's the best thing in the world.
It's so
I think
satisfying,
that,
isn't it?
I think there's a lot of positives to rural practice. I think it's fantastic. I think there's also a certain sort of practicality bred skill set that you develop, working in areas where there are, less healthcare services, less specialists, less imaging, less everything. I remember I think we did like one or two lectures on rural health when I was at uni. Like we probably dedicated all of like 2 hours to it.
Wow,
And
fair enough.
it wasn't much. And it's quite a thing to sit and, read a paper about healthcare unavailability. And it's entirely different to be in practice and have some guy turn up in your office and he's been put on like a 12-month wait list for spinal surgery. He's got full-blown foot drop, like he's dragging his foot through your waiting room. And they're like, that can wait a year. And it's like, I think country practice offers you a bit of an opportunity to learn how to operate under with a certain level of difficulty there. It's challenging. I think I don't want our urban colleagues to get upset with me, but I think it's harder to practice in a country town because you can't immediately get them off here, send them down here, the nearest hospital. We're lucky in Bega, right? The hospital is like 900 meters away from my office. But there are towns where that's not the case, and you have to kind of figure out what do you do with that guy, in the interval. And I think about when I was a student, I used to go up and take notes for Andrew Cameron. I'd get on the train and mosey on up to Bendigo, and I'd swan in there, and it was Wednesday morning, and in we go. And there was this couple that I'll never forget them. They were sitting in his waiting room, and it was like 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning. And the husband was like really, they were both dressed up really nicely. And like they looked like they were on their way to a wedding. She's there in a dress gown thing, and he's there in like in a suit, and he just they looked fantastic. And one of the first things I said to Kemo, I was like, "Oh, what's going on with them?" And he goes, "Oh, they always do that." He goes, "They just really seem to value it." And it turns out that that fella had, I can't remember what was going on with him, but he was severely, his mobility was severely limited. And so his wife, and neither of them could drive, right? So his wife had gotten up at ridiculous o'clock in the morning, dressed them both in such a lovely fashion, and then stuck them both on public transport to come out for the period of time that it takes to get adjusted. And then off they go. And that's kind of what they were doing for the day. And, I was looking at that and I was like, mate, if that's like the way Camo had made himself a part of that community was just, as far as I'm concerned, it's the gold standard for rural practice, what he's doing there. Because he clearly had demonstrated the degree to which he cared. And I think that couple were a perfect representation of that care being reciprocated. They were dressing up nice, they were ready, they were on time.
Hugely
Fantastic stuff.
appreciative. Yeah, hugely appreciative of their chiropractic care, right? And they value it to the point where they will make the effort, they'll take the time. And I recall working in rural Queensland, that was the same thing. We would have whole families travel as a group, the whole family, they'd take the whole, lock, stock and barrel, their dogs, everything. They'd make it a day trip. Because obviously one of the bigger towns would service a lot of the satellite towns. And I found that those satellite towns had literally nothing, so they would travel up to 2 to 300 kilometers just to get there, just to have their adjustment. And boy, did they value their adjustment. And I couldn't agree more about the number of people I'd seen whilst working in Queensland, in the rural area, how much they value their chiropractic care. And I think a lot
Massive.
of people don't understand, if they've never worked in rural regional areas, how much the patient actually values their chiropractic care. You hear a lot of young students talk about how, look, these patients, they don't get it. I feel like I'm talking my head off about chiropractic and they just don't get it, And that connection sometimes requires more than just words. And like you're saying, it's literally the moment that that person sat in that Andrew Cameron's reception area, they were already feeling like they're in the right place, getting care that they probably weren't even, until they, even before they saw Andrew for the adjustment, they were already getting benefit by coming and sitting in the reception area there. So yeah, that's a wonderful story, and that's a classic. I hear that a lot from those who've been in the rural areas a lot. So it's an absolute joy to hear those stories. So good on you for doing that, and I'm glad you've found your niche and your feet in that regard. Just with regards to long-term sustainability of the program, because obviously I'd love to see this foster and grow more and more. What is it that needs to happen? How do we try and ensure that there is that long-term sustainability of this connection between our rural brothers and sisters with all the new upcoming new grads to try and foster that? Like, how can we maintain and ensure that there's that long-term sustainability of such a thing?
This might sound slightly glib almost, but it needs to work. Basically, we need to have a lot of people on the registry. We need to have as many chiropractors as possible in, rural areas putting their hands up to join. One of the things that I love about this profession is, I think we're generally quite a generous bunch. My impression of our, like if we look at our research funding, for example, a lot of that is by donation. There's chiros who just have like a little subscription where just every month they send off a couple hundred bucks, whatever it is. And I think that if we can get chiros who happy to just stick their hand up, help some students out with a learning experience. Even if that's all it is, then I would just appeal to that same sense of generosity on that front and just go, look, if we can get a hand here, helping these kids to realize, the joys that I know about rural practice, the joys that you know, and the joys that so many of us have experienced,
Yes.
then that's fantastic. I think we need to see an ROI on on participation as well. One of the things that I was talking about on one of the ARPAN meetings was with Lyndon Woods was saying that they see an uptick in students who graduate from their program. I think that's Murdoch. They see an uptake in students who graduate from their program who've participated in, they've got a sort of in-house rural, they have like one of those, it's like an outreach clinic thing up in, I think it's in Broome. Looks really cool. And they see an uptick there. And so when I was writing proposals for this thing for the ACA board, one of the things that I looked at was what happens amongst other professions when you go out into a country town, have a good placement experience, and there's like a marked increase, like massive. And so I think for the program to have long-term sustainability, we need to see firstly Kairos getting engaged on the front end. And then we need to see students going, man, that was awesome. I'm going to go and practice out there. We need to see that return. We need to see our members having an easier time finding people to, work in their offices or continue on their offices should they decide to retire. I think one of the things that's really can be quite sad is those guys who've been in practice for like, 30, 40, 50 years, who've done a stellar job looking after their community, and then all of a sudden they kind of just they're like, look, I've got to pack it in, and one Monday the doors just aren't open anymore. And it's
And
like
there's
now
no
you've
one.
got this, yeah, it's like you've got this thing that just has been a pillar of this town
Oh,
for
community,
decades and decades. It's like we need to have people going in there, and we want to see that expanding because people need it. Like we've said, per capita we're low, healthcare need is massive out there. Their alternative is to go and stress out the GP, and the poor buggers might end up giving them something that might not be super useful. We need to see ROI. We need to see more chiropractors in rural towns. And I think if that happens, I would hope that the ACA then goes, cool, we're just going to keep this running. And it just keeps ticking along.
Well, Oliver, you certainly have my support on that and my vote to keep that going, and I'll certainly be championing that to the ACA continually, because I think that that's such an important aspect. And I do think that chiropractic service in the country rural areas are so needed, are so needed. There's hardly anybody. And you know, the other wonderful thing, and I often say this to students as well, is you're naturally going to be busier anyway, because there are, like you mentioned earlier, per capita, there's just not enough chiropractors out there. So when you are busier, you are also honing in on your skills as a chiropractor. One of the things that I was always taught very young was get busy, not for any other egotistical reason, but purely because you become a better chiropractor. The more you see, the better you are. Our science, art, and philosophy, right? The art of it all, you can only get better if you are seeing more people.
Hundred percent.
Your understanding, your science, you're putting together all this, even just evidence-based. Evidence-based practice stuff, it's fantastic the amount of information that you can then contribute back towards our chiropractic community. So there's a lot of benefits of being in rural and country areas. So I you have my full support on this, and I will definitely be shouting from the rooftops about this on a regular basis. So hats off to you for putting the big effort in and doing such a wonderful job with the ACA on this. So can't thank you enough on that.
I think the credit should go to the ACA. I've proposed some programs for them over the years, and they seem to say yes when I do that, which is nice. But really all I do is just kind of go, hang on a second, why don't we do that? And then it's the ACA, it's people like Linda Smith and Joanne, and it's those guys who get in the background there and just go boom, 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 and make it all happen. So I think, I think credit where credit's due, I think the organization's doing a really good job. I think that if we continue to be really practical in the way that we engage rural chiropractors, rural Aussies, and students, That can only be of benefit to everybody involved. And I'm really excited to see how all this stuff goes. I think it will be cool.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you're spot on. Like you said right at the start, a lot of the stuff that happens behind the scenes and not in the public eye, the advocacy work that Linda Smith does is tremendous. And just a bit of a hats off to Linda. Love it a bit. She's such a tireless worker. And it's
Best
fantastic
to
to
ever
know
do it.
that.
She's a weapon.
Yeah, absolutely. The best person for it too. Okay, so well, that's all for today in today's episode of the ACA National Podcast. The Rural Placement Grant and Practitioner Placement Network are more than just I'm going to say placement opportunities. In my opinion, based on what you've heard with Oliver, they're about building stronger connections across our profession, ensuring rural and remote Australians continue to receive quality chiropractic care. So if you're a rural practitioner, like Oliver said, get involved, if you're interested, just jump on the ACA portal, your chiropractors.org.au website, learn more about that on there, register your interests. So keep that going because we want this to, inspire more future generations of chiropractors to move out to the west, out into the regional areas. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Oliver, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate that immensely, and I love what you're doing and the ACA are doing. So thank you again.
Thanks, mate. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, thank you. And as always, everybody, listeners, thank you again for listening in. Stay connected, stay inspired, and keep making a difference in your community. Bye for now.